Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we're going to be talking about another case study on making offers on a commercial property. Once again, I don't know anything about the deal. This is something that Jeff, have you made offers on it already, Jeff? Or are you going?
Yes, I just made them. Yep.
We just made offers on them. So this is a great learning opportunity for me, along with our audience out there. So if you're in a position to pull out your financial calculator, because I'm gonna pull mine out here and share it on my screen, and we're just gonna try to follow along here with Jeff, see if we can keep up with him.
Well, and this one's good. This one might be a little difficult, and then I'm gonna try to share some commercial types of equations that you can use to help evaluate the value of different commercial deals. And what you'll quickly find out is that I really don't have enough information on this, and I really don't know if my offers are, one, even close to what the seller is looking for, and two, if it's something that it's close to what I'm looking for. And what I'm trying to do here is see if we can get on the same page, and then I can dive a little deeper. I don't really want to do all this work if it's not even a potential deal.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Sounds interesting enough.
Oh, it's interesting. Okay. Oh, yeah. So this property is a 300-unit storage facility.
Whoa.
It has some cool things about it, and it's got some things that I really have no idea, and I'll just give you a little background on it. 300 units, but they've modified it, and they actually had demand for bigger size units. They've actually got some very big clients like Pepperidge Farms, and so now it is down to 245 units. Could be extended back, whatever the case may be. And it comes with some additional land. And initially that land, this is all I know, is that the land may be allowed to be used to make more storage units, or it could be commercial, and it might be multifamily. It's like 1.36 acres. The problem is I don't really know what you can and cannot do. I have not talked to the city about it, and I truly have no idea what the value of that land would be.
Okay.
Which is what makes this a little complicated. And what I did is I got some numbers from the seller, but those numbers didn't really jive very well. And when I say that, they sent me like 2017, 2018, and a partial of 2019 financials. And there were some big discrepancies on stuff that shouldn't have big discrepancies, like property taxes, from one year to the next. And when your property taxes get cut in half in 2018 from 2017, I have a question, like, what, why? So what was challenging about this is that it came through a listing, and it's not like on the market, it's kind of pocket listing. And what's been the issue is that, so my realtor will bring this to me first. And I've been sitting on it for probably a month. And I'm interested, but I in my mind, I believe that the seller is asking too much money. And I know that they took, that they had an offer that they turned down. And that's probably more of where I'd want to be. So it's kind of sat around, but all of a sudden, a number of my buyers have expressed interest, and he's gotten a little antsy, like, Jeff, I will bring you everything first, but if you're not going to write an offer, then let me, you know, then go try to deal with some of your buyers. And I'm like, maybe I don't want to let you do that yet. So it created some urgency on my part to make some offers. But as I started to do so, I realized I really don't have a clue on. So first of all, storage units, I've made offers on storage units in the past. However, I'm not an expert at all on storage units. I don't know what the rates should be. And I'm not sure where I can go to find out what the rates should be. I could call around. I haven't. I don't know what the market cap rate should be. And just if you're not quite following what that is that it's basically that's the determining factor of what something should that particular asset should sell for in that particular area, you know, that would make sense for most buyers. And so I don't know if this storage unit should be at a 6% cap rate or maybe even a 7% cap rate.
Just to fill in our listeners, sorry to interrupt, Jeff.
No, you're good.
But for cap rate, that is the return on investment that someone would make if they were to buy the property outright for cash.
That's right.
So that's if it's a 7% cap rate, then they would make 7% on their money if they were to buy this property out without using any financing, if they were to come out of pocket, whatever that purchase price is.
That's right. The reason that I wanted to do this as a case study is for a couple of reasons. One is that sometimes you don't have all the information. And I would tell you that that shouldn't stop you from trying to make an offer, get the offer out there. And that, when I say offer, it would be an LOI. And if the seller comes back and says, I'm curious about option one or two or whatever the case may be, now I'm going to create enough due diligence and I'm going to request all of this information and I'm going to ask all these questions. And then I would do some research into it. Right now, I don't want to do any research because there's nothing to research about, right? There's no reason to spend all this time on it if there's not an opportunity to buy it.
Right.
And so that's what, one thing that I want to become clear why we're doing this. And then two, I may not be evaluating this in the right way. But based on what my thoughts are, I'm going to go with that. And we're going to structure this in a way that's probably different than I normally would. And I'll show you why I'm doing that. And but again, it's more about let's just get the offers out and see what happens.
Yeah, and we've talked about that in our last episode, Jeff. If you don't have all the information, it doesn't matter. Submit an LOI and then give yourself 60 days due diligence.
Yeah.
Period. You can find out all the information you need in that time frame.
Yeah. Well, and certainly some of the information that I already had was a little conflicting, at least in my mind. Maybe there's a reason for it, but I had to use some numbers to try to figure this out. And we'll go through that. And I want to do it fairly quickly because I don't want this to be, you know, an hour plus long episode. But
Okay, so
you kind of have an idea of what it is. It's potentially up to 300 storage units and with some additional land.
Okay.
And right now, all the storage units are rented except for one. And
wow, that's really good.
Yeah. So they stay pretty full.
It's like 99% occupancy.
Yeah. So it brings in $18,940 a month.
$940. Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
I went through what I could make out of the expenses, and I came with about between 60 and let's say, because they had no. So first of all, let's call our gross income 227,280. So that's that 18,940 times 12.
Times 12. Right? Yep.
Okay, and then I came with I came up with expenses of $60,500, and I added another $10,000 to that. And the reason that I did is there was no vacancy included. There was even though there's little to no vacancy, I don't think I want to go into this without some kind of vacancy factor. Even if someone stops paying, I mean, it might take a month or so to get them out and then another month to get it rented. So there could be some vacancy. So I came with my expenses of right around $70,000, $70,500.
Yeah. So you minus that from our 227, it leaves us a net operating income of 156,780.
That's exactly where I came up. And so right away, this is how I evaluate commercial right away. They are asking, and there's not like an actual price, but they would like $3.3 million. Okay.
Okay.
So let's do that 156,780 divided by $3,300,000. That will give us cap rate, NOI divided by purchase price.
You said 3,300?
Yep.
1,000, okay. 3,300,000.
Yep.
4% cap, almost 5.
Yeah. 0.7. So to me, that seems super low, right?
Yeah.
certainly not where me as an investor and a wholesaler want to be, right?
4.75% cap rate. That's like hedge fund buying.
That's right. Right. That's like me selling top retail. And so let's just play around with some numbers. So let's clear that and let's do 156,780 our NOI.
Okay.
Divided by 3 million.
That's a 5.22.
Right. So now let's do one more. 156,780 divided by 2.7 million.
2,700,000. So that's still 5.8% cap rate.
So the first challenge that I'm having is I don't know what the market cap rate for this type of asset in this area would be, right?
Yeah.
It might be 6%, which case, 2.7 is basically paying market value. It might be less. I'm not sure, but it's probably in that range. It's somewhere between...
If it's 6, you're paying at... that 2.7, you're paying more than market.
Right. This is what I do know is that they, at one point, and I don't know how long ago it was, turned down a $2.8 million purchase price.
Okay.
But keep this in mind. This is for the storage units. This does not include that additional land. And I don't know what the value of that land is, but if you could build, let's say, another 50 to 80 storage units, or maybe you could get 30, 40, 50 multifamily units on it, it's probably worth some money, right? certainly worth a few hundred thousand dollars, if not more.
And, yeah.
But I don't know that. I don't know what can be done. So I am trying to, one, evaluate what I can, which is the storage units. I also know where they want to be. And I know they want to be above 2.8. And I know ideally they'd like to be around 3.1, 3.2, 3.3, 3.3 million. So based on what I did is that now we can do a number of other things. So let's clear your calculator again.
Okay.
So once you have the NOI, the NOI is crucial.
Yes.
In any commercial transaction. And I don't even know how good my NOI is, because remember I told you my expenses were kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
So let's take 156,780.
780, okay.
And divide it by, let's say, 0.07.
0.07.
So that would be 7% cap rate.
Cap rate, yeah. Right.
So that puts us at 2.2.
Yep.
Okay. My guess is that 7% is we're getting into more where it would make sense for us. And now the question is hey, is 1.3 acres worth $700,000 to $1 million? I doubt it. But I don't know.
And, yeah.
So I'm just going to go based on that. I know I can't pay 3.3, right? I just know that. I don't even know if I can pay 3 million, but, if I don't get above 2.8, I'm probably not getting a response.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is what I did. So you know that we did this last time. So when I'm working on something like this, I'm going to start where, Jonathan? What's my first offer going to be?
Cash.
Okay.
2.2.
Well, it probably should be significantly less, but I also know that if I come... Now, I don't know when this offer of 2.8 came in. I also don't know what went on with that offer, right? How long of due diligence period did they want, and would they have to go find financing, whatever. I don't know what all the other terms were involved with that offer, but I'm just going to assume that they turned it down because of the number.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came in at a 2.640 cash offer. Why? Because I feel like I've got to be less. I can't pay 2.8, but I don't want to be so less that it's insulting at this point. I just don't have the amount of information to confidently say, yeah, I can pay this.
Yeah.
I literally just guessed at a number.
That's more of a scenario where you do have to take a guess or kind of go off your gut feeling. Because there's just so much unknown.
Yeah. So now we're going to work on our creative financing offers, and we're going to try to get closer to where they need to be.
Okay.
And this property has, let's see, it's, I believe, it does have some debt, but it's pretty low. It's like 400,000, I think. Okay. All right. So, and I have no idea what a monthly payment is, but on 400,000, it's maybe $2,000, 23, 24. It's not going to be super high, right?
Right.
Okay. So I decided that the highest that I felt like I could make was a $3 million offer. And again, I might be too high. I don't really know, but I want to try to get their attention. I want to see if we can come to some kind of terms, and then I can decide, I can go, if that land is really valuable, and it, let's say it's worth $750,000, now maybe there's some room to either negotiate or say, hey, maybe we do have something here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I decided that I've got to give them, you know, that there's going to be a realtor commission involved, and I've got to make sure that they're going to get some cash out of this. So I decided that I would offer them $350,000 down.
Okay. And
so we're asking them to finance $2,950,000. No, I'm sorry. $2,650,000, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 2650.
Okay.
Okay, so just really quick, let's again just figure out what a normal, you know, in the range kind of payment would be. So we'll do present value, let's do a 4% interest.
Okay. So 2.65, 4% interest.
Yeah, and let's do, you could do 25 years, you could do 30 years. I do 30.
Yeah, okay. 30.
Payment, let's see what our payment is.
$12,651.
Okay, so immediately, what did I tell you that our income was? Do you remember per month?
I thought it was 13.
It's almost 19,000.
Oh, 19, okay.
So I already don't like where this is going quickly,
yeah.
Right? I mean, we haven't added in our expenses, which are basically $6,000 a month. So all I need to know right now is that, hey, I can't pay that money because now all the value is going to be in that land, right?
Right.
This is not even going to break even. If I added, let's say $6,000 a month in expenses, we figured right around $70,500, pretty close to six.
Yep.
We have $18,651 and there's no cash flow, right? There's zero. So immediately I see that and I'm like, now where do I go? And so this literally took, once I figured out the NOI and I started playing around with some numbers, this took 2 minutes. And I knew that I can't make a normal offer with an amortization that's going to work, right? I'm already at 30 years. I mean, I guess I could amortize it out to 40. That's not normally something that I want to do. But that payment's just too high.
Right.
It's just that simple. And even if that land is worth it, you know, we talked about in the last episode that we're going to make our offers based on what we've got right now.
Yeah.
And you know, we'd be running a negative cash flow while we're even developing that land. And that's not what I would want. And doubtful that buyers would want that as well.
Right.
It doesn't have to be like a huge moneymaker because the value could come from developing that land, but I don't want to be losing money every month running a storage facility.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So what I did is, what option do we go to? It's my go-to option I've got to create my own monthly payment.
The 2.5% interest.
Yeah, that simple interest kind of hybrid offer. Okay. So let's clear that out and do 2.65 present value.
Yep.
2.65 million present value.
Okay. Right. Present value 2.5.
Okay. So I'm going to save you some time. Don't even put that in. Take that out.
Okay.
So the way that this offer works is that, yes, I get to take the payment. I get to pick the payment. But if I pick a really low payment, that my principal pay down isn't much. And in this case, we already know we've got to get this principal paid down, right? I mean, if we go and borrow, if we have to refinance this in the near future, We already know that, yeah, we're not getting 4% amortized over 30 years. The payment's going to be too high. So I already did my calculations and I picked $9,000 as what monthly payment I can pay. So that should create about a $3,000 a month cash flow based on the numbers, right? Just from the storage units. Okay. And what I decided to do is I did 2% interest instead of my normal 2.5% because there wasn't enough pay down.
Okay.
Okay. And then I did for 3 years, 36 months.
36 months in. Okay.
Okay. Now figure out the
future value. Now
we almost got $200,000 pay down, right? Over 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Close. 170 or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Not the best, but remember, we're only coming with around 10% on commercial. You should assume you're putting 20 to 25% down minimum, right?
Right.
So even if we had to still come with some money at the end, we're in better shape than we would have been if we just bought this property, right?
Right.
Now we've got a positive cash flow while we can either go sell off that land. So if that land's valuable, couldn't we just go sell it?
Yeah.
Right. And reduce our principal balance and payment all in the same, or we could go develop it. We could either add more storage units or build retail, build multifamily, whatever the case may be. But that's, we basically have that land that we can work with in some way or another to make this deal work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But does that make sense? I mean, there's no way that I already figured out that I can't pay them 4% amortized over 30 years based on that price and that down payment that would still work.
Yeah, yeah. And once you figured that out, then you're like, okay, well, the only alternative is this offer here. Did you make another offer or
yes,
come up with another offer?
And it's going to be different than what I normally do. But let's figure out one more thing. We'll move on to option two.
Okay. So this was option one then?
This is option one. And let's use your little calculator and let's figure out what the seller would gross because they do have an underlying mortgage on this property. So take 9,000.
9,000.
Times 36.
Times 36.
Plus 2,580. Oh, I'm sorry. You have a different balloon payment than I do.
Do I?
Yeah. Let's see why.
So I did 36 months, 2% interest, 2.65 million present value. And I punched in her payment at 9,000.
Yeah, you're right. Mine's wrong. Huh. Interesting. Okay. So yep, yours is right. I don't know why mine came up different. Maybe because I was playing with all these numbers and I forgot to change some of them. Well, now it'll be interesting if they accept that one.
Okay.
All right. So figure out what it is that they would gross. So
9,000 times 36 equals 324,000 plus 2.48095. Oh, I did that wrong.
No.
2.05. So minus the balloon payment. Plus the balloon payment, sorry.
Plus the down payment.
Yeah, plus what was that again? The down payment was,
why isn't it adding?
All right.
It did add. I'm sorry. It did.
Oh, it did? Oh, okay. Yeah. Let me try that again. 9,000 times 36 equals plus the balloon payment of 2,480,095 equals, okay.
Plus 350,000.
Plus 350. So they would gross 3.15 million over 36 months.
So short term, not quite in the vicinity of where they wanted to be.
Yeah, yeah.
It's at least in the running, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, again, that I would iterate the point that that's the beauty of creative financing and kind of coming up with this offer here. You're able to select your payment. And then if you can show them that, I mean, if they're looking for 3.3, but they got an offer of 2.8 and you come in at, you know, if they can net 3.15 in 3 years, then yeah, that you're in the running, I would say.
I'm in the running. I don't know if these terms, yeah, I don't know if they want more money down. They probably will. I don't know that they would have that much of an issue with the monthly payment, because my guess is it'll still create a good cash flow for them. And it's fairly short term. Yeah. So those things are all good. I don't know. I don't think the plan is to go 1031. That's why owner financing really may work for these people. Okay. So now let's look at option two.
Okay.
So here's where things get difficult for me, because normally what I would do is come back somewhere close to that 3 million, maybe even a little more, and extend out my term and do an amortization over, you know, 25 years or 30 years. But okay, we already know that's not going to work. We're not even close on payment. We're $2,500, $3,000 a month, too high. Yeah. And I can only come down so much, or I can only increase my down payment so much. If you noticed, I'm already offering, I started with 10% down. You know, I don't want to get too crazy with my down payment. I want to still try to get where I can add in a decent fee. Now, and when I say decent, I'd want to make minimum of $40,000-$50,000 on this, and you know, preferably more. If I'm going to deal on these kinds of numbers, you know, I'd love to make more. But we know that this isn't a distressed seller. This isn't necessarily, you know, this is more of a turnkey kind of situation, right?
Yeah.
So what I did is I decided that I still wanted to give them an option for a little longer term, and preferably one where they would make more money, so we'd even get closer to what they were wanting for the property.
Okay.
And if there is a tax issue, that let's extend it out. For turnkey stuff, I'd love to get as long of a period of time as possible.
Right.
What I did is I made an offer of $3.1 million with $400,000 down. So we upped our down payment just slightly, still over 10%. The 3.1 is definitely in that vicinity of where what purchase price they wanted.
Yeah, 3.1, and you said 450 down?
$400,000 down.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So we're going to ask them to finance 2.7.
Okay.
So let's clear the financial calculator and put these numbers in there.
Okay, so
2.7
seven
present value.
Okay.
So again, here's my concern, right? My concern is that I've got to figure out a way to, one, keep my payment down where it makes sense, and try to get principal pay down. So mm-hmm. I could just offer some kind of principal only payment. That would solve the problem, right?
Yeah.
I just don't love doing that. But it's certainly a possibility. If they came back and they said, look, we like this, but we want 3.3 million, then that's where I would have to go. Mm-hmm. It's like, fine, I can do that. But over the course of whatever, 3 years, it's going to have to be principal only. I feel like I'm overpaying. And so what I did is I decided I could not make an amortized loan offer here. Normally, I'd want to come back with like a 4% amortized over 30 years or 25 years for a 5 or 6 year balloon, and can't do it. The numbers won't work. So what I did is I just made another offer very similar to the first one. This one I made it 2.5%, so just slightly higher.
Okay. So 2.5% interest.
Yep. I did it over 6 years, so 72 months.
72 in.
And I reduced my payment down to $8,500.
Okay, so $8,500 entered as a negative for payment, solved for future value. So 2.47 million.
Yeah, okay. So we got some principal debt pay down of, you know, $225,000 or so.
Mm-hmm.
But I also created a $500 more a month cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And I extended this out, you know, 3 more years. And if you look at what the seller will gross,
$8,500 times that by 72 months. And then add our 400 and our balloon.
Yep.
2,476,918 equals 3.48.
So now they're making more than what, you know, they were asking.
Yeah, so they were at 3.3, but if they're willing to hold it for 6 years, they'll make 3.4.
Right.
Neat. So.
So really all I did is basically I made the same offer except one with a longer term and a slightly more down payment, a slightly higher interest rate, but I actually lowered the monthly payment. And, you know, I could have just kept it at 2%. And I could have kept it at just $9,000 a month and just extended it out. Here's a longer term. I'm offering you more money up front and more money purchase price, but I want a longer term.
Yeah.
So, and I did that because I wanted to give them two options. I always like to give them a shorter term and a longer term. Because if they don't want to cash out of this, if they don't want to have that tax consequence, if they'd like to make money on their money, if I don't give them that longer term, it typically won't come up. And I, we've talked quite a bit in, you know, recently that, hey, if we have a longer term and we actually are willing to pay them off early, we can either get a discount or we can use our substitution of collateral. And,
right.
If we don't, I mean, trying to go get a commercial loan on this property, now we've got to have it appraised. Now we're going to have to refi probably at 75% loan to value.
Mm-hmm.
Why not give it the most amount of time to appreciate, for us to, figure out what we're going to do with the other portion of this project, which is that land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Very interesting. So if, you know, if our payment was too high, if we were just to do that, you know, amortize it at over 30 years with 4%. Do you think they have any kind of shot as a of a retail buyer coming in?
I don't know. Again, there's the other component to this, which is the land. So I don't know what the value of that land is. Mm-hmm. If that land is, let's say, worth, you know, $800,000, and we are right on some of our calculations, maybe we're not. But let's say that, hey, maybe this project would actually appraise for 3.1-ish, in which case, yes, yep, that they would have a chance to sell it in that vicinity. Maybe not the 3.3 that they think they're going to get, mm-hmm. but you know, within a reasonable realm. I don't know. And that's been the challenge on this one, is that there are too many unknowns still. I have enough to try to create something. And it's very possible that they come back and they say, we're not interested in any of these offers. I did make one other offer.
You did?
I did.
Okay.
And it's the seller carry back, a subordination. And I came in at $3 million. I believe that they owe about $400,000. And sometimes with, and it's residential or commercial, that sellers are not familiar that they can really do anything with their existing mortgage. You know, either you have to assume it, or you know, there's nothing that you can do with it. And mm-hmm. assumption becomes more usable in the commercial realm than in the residential realm. Although there are assumable loans still in the residential realm as well.
Yeah.
But I don't want to assume it. I want to wrap it. But in some cases, they don't think that that's possible. And maybe it's not. Maybe it's private money that they've borrowed. Who knows? So this option will give them, we'll cash out that existing financing, and you'll still get $400,000 cash up front. Now we're coming with almost 25%, actually more than 25% down, but we're borrowing it against the property. And again, do you think, I mean, certainly not as many people in your network have $800,000 laying around, but the people that do you think that they would be okay making this type of loan? $800,000 yeah. first position on a property that's potentially worth $3 million plus, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And just so that we know, $800,000 times 0.08, because that's what I believe that you know, you can get, is $5,333 per month. So, and maybe we could even get it to 7%, which would be better for us.
Times 0.7 by 12. So if you can get it at 7, it's almost $1,000. What was the other one?
Yeah.
533 or whatever.
Yeah. So it's like $700.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm banking on, that we could find money, or someone could find money at 7% for this.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we're going to do is then ask the seller to carry back the balance of their mortgage. Why would someone do this? First of all, why wouldn't they do this? Isn't there right now, if they say, if they think that this property is worth $3 million and they owe $400,000, who gets paid first when they sell the property?
The bank does. Yes. Yeah. So in essence,
so isn't there equity in second position already, basically?
Yeah.
Same thing, except guess what? In this case, the $800,000, they get all of, you know, their loan's gone. They have no more liability. They're getting paid money up front. The only difference is on the $400,000, they were making a payment. On yeah, this yeah. one, they're not making the payment, right? Someone else is.
Right.
So understanding how this works is the big challenge, but certainly done a lot more in the commercial realm than the residential realm.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to ask them to take back $2.2 million second. Well, I already know that, you know, good, figure out what's $2.2 million at, you know, 4%.
Did 4%? 4%
yeah.
interest 4%. Over. Whoa. 2,200,000 present value. And then 4% interest
uh-huh.
over 360.
Sure. Month. Yep.
360.
And remember, this is what we're just trying to gauge where, you know, payments would be.
Payments would be 6,936.
So almost 7,000 plus the, what did we have? $4,666 on the first.
Yeah.
We're too high, right? I mean, yeah. That's 11,000. Yep. It's starting to approach the $12,000 mark.
Yeah, 11,600 and some change. Yeah.
Plus, we've also talked about that with subordination, it's great because it's potential that you can get in for no money down or just the wholesale fee down, right? Which is super good.
Right.
But hey, in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whenever this loan comes due, there's no principal pay down.
Right.
So the only way that we can structure this, we can do it a couple of different ways. We could do interest only and keep our payments low. But again, then at the end of 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever the term that we agree to, guess what? We still owe $3 million. And that's not where I'd want to be, because now I got to go figure out where's 25% of that's coming from.
So, yeah.
Right. At that point, it'd be like, I don't know that that's where I'd want to be. Maybe some investors would look at it differently. I could even do, you know, we could go back to the 2% or 2.5%, but to be honest, it's not going to have the kind of pay down that we're going to want, because we still, I mean, we can't pay like $1,000 a month on a $2.2 million loan. And at any interest rate and think that it's going to pay down. Those numbers are very skewed, right?
Yep.
But this is where I would go with principal only. So I offered him $5,000 a month. That keeps my payment. It's a little high. It's not quite where I want to be, but it won't create a negative for me in terms of the cash flow from the storage units.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, I need this to pay down. I need to create some equity in this property. So I did it for 48 months. And the way that I figure it out is how much pay down can I hope to get within reason? And, you know, how quickly can I get it? So if you do 4,800 or 5,000 times 48,
5,000 times 48. Okay, that's 240,000.
So we're getting close to like at least 10%, you know, in that range. You probably could have gone one more year even and tried to get it to, you know, close to 10%. You would have gotten another 60,000. You would have been right at 10%. So at least then you've gained some equity in it, and it's allowed you, again, that the X factor in this whole thing is that land. So if you were able to go sell the land, split it off, sell the land, get $750,000 for it, and, you know, there's your down payment, right? I mean, that would cover what you need to now make this all worthwhile. But I don't know that yet. And so I'm trying to structure something that would still potentially work and at least get us into the game so that we can find out what that deal is. So does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And it's kind of a tough deal.
It is a tough
deal. Yeah. Like you were saying, just because they want so much, it's just that purchase price really.
The purchase price and the unknowns.
Yeah. 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 Like what's the,
if we knew what exactly the land was worth and what could potentially be done on it, then we would know they're asking too much. Or, right now, I don't even know. It seems like they're asking too much, but I can't justify that they are. And that's what makes this kind of tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a hard one.
Well, and to be totally upfront, I don't really know even the storage unit portion. You know, what should be the value of that on its own?
Yeah. And,
there are a bunch of unknowns here. My guess is that at the at what will happen is that we'll have some conversation. I don't know that they would just take one of these offers. Maybe, you never know, but
right.
My goal would be is that, look, all right, maybe you didn't like any of these and let's find out why or where, what potentially could we do to make something work. And if it's more than what I'm comfortable with, then all right, then let's answer some of these questions now and see if this is even a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that one is, this one's a lot harder to follow along.
Yeah. Well, and can I just make one mention? Because, yeah, you know, I'm sure this is what goes through your mind and all of our listeners' minds is like, where does he get these numbers from?
Right? Yeah.
Now, how did you decide 3 million? How did you decide down payment? How did you decide 9,000?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So, I'll tell you the secret. I play with some numbers.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, I felt like 3.3 was just too high. I can't come in that high. Plus, I'm going to look to wholesale this. I've got to add a fee. It's just too high. And so I decided what would make sense to maybe the seller that would still potentially give me some room. That's where I felt like I had a shot. Okay.
Yeah.
So I had to pick that number. As far as down payment, I'm realizing that 10% on a commercial deal is still on the low end, right?
Yeah, it is.
Offering and computing in that there's going to be at least 3% real estate commission and possibly more. So I want to make sure that they're getting some money out of it, right?
Yeah.
So I've got to come up with, you know, I wouldn't want to offer $600,000. It's too much. And the rest of the terms aren't as good as I would need them to be to try to still add on and sell this to someone quickly.
Right.
I'm always trying to keep my down payment down. Okay.
Yeah. Our down payment.
Down payment is crucial to us. If the goal is for us to acquire this property, we obviously want less money down. That helps with our cash on cash return.
Yep.
Or if I'm trying to wholesale it, I'd like to be able to pass on a good cash on cash return.
Exactly.
So the monthly payment in this case, all I did is exactly what we did through this video, is that I looked at what would be a payment just ballpark, right? 4% amortized over 30 years. And it was too much. Those numbers just wouldn't jive, right? That there was going to be a loss. Well, I know that I only have a few options at my disposal then where I need to make payments work with the numbers that I have. Principal only, interest only, or my hybrid. Okay?
Yeah.
That's it. That's all there are to make this work. Otherwise, I got to lower the purchase price, or I've got to up the down payment, or
right.
both.
Right.
So I'm just playing with numbers, and I'm seeing how they fit. I picked 9,000 because I want it to be as high as it can be, because the way I'm structuring it, the more that we're paying per month, the more that's going toward principal. So we're getting that principal pay down. But I also know I can only go so high where I can still create a cash flow and make this feasible. So right. I'm sitting in front of my calculator and I'm playing with numbers. Does this work? Nope. Okay. I got to be more. I got to be less. And then I want to look at, hey, when it's all said and done, what will the seller gross? Is that something that would make sense? I'm also going to look at what's the balloon payment at the end of the term. Where are we at the end where now we've got to go get new financing? Is that, it might not be perfect all the time. You know, I'm not going to be at 75% loan to value necessarily when you're only putting 10% down. But I want it to be close, or at least, getting in that vicinity where some appreciation, the principal pay down, maybe any value add that you're able to do to the property could potentially get you there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all the things that I'm looking at trying to figure, you know, and I don't want to make option one and option two, which were very similar in this case, right?
Yeah.
You know, they basically are almost the same interest.
Almost the same down payment.
Very close in down payment, close in purchase price, but longer term.
Mm-hmm.
I do want them to be different enough. In this case, I didn't have a lot of choices. And the reason that I wanted to put this out there is that if they wanted a longer term, I want them to have something to consider.
Yeah.
That's it. Otherwise, if I didn't want a longer term, you know, if like this was all about value add some way, I probably wouldn't have even made this offer. It really wouldn't have been that much different than option one. But this is more turnkey. I'd rather have a longer term with great terms on it, right? That would make sense for me or my buyer. The third option was pretty easy because we just figured out that, hey, if we paid off the existing debt and we could still make it so they got some money, what do we got left over? And again, I still wanted it to be able to pay down within a reasonable amount of time. The problem with option number three is that the seller needs to stay in this for 4 years, but they only get $3 million. There's no more interest, right?
Right.
They're not making money on their money. That's why I don't love this option, but that's all I could do. I couldn't figure out a way to get the principal paid down over some time, that they don't have to stay in it long-term. The only reason that they would take option three is, hey, we need our loan paid off. We'd like that money up front.
Yeah.
We're going to wait. We're okay with $5,000 a month.
Right.
That's it. That's the only reason.
Yeah. And so just to simplify this for our listeners, every deal is going to be different. You're going to have to play with the numbers.
Yes.
And the more you can use your calculator, your financial calculator to figure this out, the better you're going to be at playing with numbers to try to make it work. But the consistencies here are, number one, we got to get in light, and we always talk about this. So 10% or less, that's what we're always shooting for.
Number 10% or less on, for sure, residential, you don't want to be near that 10%, right?
Yeah,
You're more like 5, 6%.
Yeah, and then number two, number one, our down payment. Number two, our monthly payment, so that we still have cash flow. We're able to cover expenses and have cash flow. So that number you can always back out with whatever the net operating income is or the rental rate minus expenses, right?
And it's very similar to what we've done numerous times on numerous episodes where we take the gross rents and we back out all the expenses.
Now, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I'm just trying
commercial, we have more expenses we've got to back out.
Exactly. So I hope you guys can just see those patterns here. So number one, again, our down payment, we got to get in light. Number two, our monthly payment has to work to cover expenses and have cash flow. And then number three, we need to see where we land at the end of our term in order to refinance. So that's the third thing that we have to keep in mind, is we got to be able to land somewhere around that 75, 80% loan to value if it's a residential property, right? But commercial, you want to land somewhere close to that 75% loan to value at the end of your term. And if you don't, then what do? You play with numbers. You do principal only, interest only. You do a longer term, right, to get more of a pay down. So those are the primary factors that you always have to keep in mind: down payment, monthly payments, and then where do we land as far as loan to value at the end of our term.
Yep. Well, and Jonathan, the thing that everyone will talk about is Jeff must understand, you know, he must be a finance wizard. He must be a mathematician, because, I mean, how in the world can I understand all this? What I would tell you is that, again, it's about your mindset. It's about allowing yourself to look at things in different ways. And the more that you do it, the more it will make sense. I'll tell you, it wasn't until maybe 2 years ago that I came up with this kind of hybrid thing, and where I just pulled it out of thin air. I mean, I learned something else. And
yeah, it's just playing with numbers.
Yeah.
And you're just playing with numbers. Say, how can I make these factors work?
That's right. And if you notice, if you've been listening to our podcast, most of my offers are similar, right? I have usually a hybrid offer. I usually have a longer term amortized offer. I have maybe a seller subordination offer, short-term finance offer, and a cash offer. Yeah. Those are my go-tos.
Right.
So I'm looking at how do I make those, which ones will apply to those particular deals, and how do I make the numbers work?
Yeah. And if people say, well, you know, he's just a wizard at this, I would say, well, it takes time to learn. But if you understand those three factors, like I just discussed, down payment, monthly payment, and loan to value at end of term, then you can start to fit the pieces of the puzzle together.
That's right.
Right. And yeah, that's all you do, Jeff. You understand those three things. Like, those are your principal guidelines, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I would call them, is your principal guidelines. As long as you know those three things, then it's just a matter of playing with the different pieces to make them fit. And every deal is different. And that's what you do on every single deal, whether it's a $3.3 million commercial deal or whether it's a $180,000 single family home.
That's right.
You do those, you just follow those principal guidelines.
So let me even take that like one step further. So if I'm looking for me, I already have certain buying criteria, right? That you've said a number of times, hey, I'll buy some stuff to hold, but I want to be around that 10% down. I don't want to really invest more money than 10%, right?
Yeah.
I mentioned that a few times. So if that were the case, then I'm only making offers that fit my buying criteria. Me being a wholesaler, I'm not telling you that you have to be at the end of the term, that you have to be under that loan to value where you can refinance. I am trying to think like my buyers, mm-hmm. right? These are things that are going to, if Jonathan, you were my buyer, you might say, hey, I like the way this is structured. You know, I can make this, I can do that. But hey, at the end of the term, I'm screwed because I am so far away from being able to refinance this property. That's probably the difference between you being in and with you being out. That's correct. The difference between me getting paid and not getting paid.
Right.
So taking it one step further would be, if you're the buyer, understanding what your buying criteria is. And yeah, if you're not the buyer, and by the way, can you be both? I mean, can you buy the ones that fit your buying criteria and wholesale the ones that don't?
Yes.
I mean, that's what we do.
Yeah.
I would tell you that now you got to start thinking like the buyers. And how do you do that? You start talking to them about what they want, what's important to them, what their capabilities are, and start thinking, hey, if it were me, would I want this?
Exactly. You just put yourself in the buyer's shoes and say, what's my exit strategy at the end of this term? Am I going to refinance it, or am I going to sell it before then? If I can't sell it before then, I'm going to need to refinance it. If that's the case, where do I need to be at?
That's right. Yep.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, I hope that's been valuable for you. And hopefully you guys can just take away get the key takeaways from this, you know, the guiding principles of creating terms. So I know that we kind of trudged through a lot of numbers here on this one. And this one's even, you know, for me, I'm like, man, where do you go with this, Jeff? What do you do?
It was the same way for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is. And what it comes down to is just practice. You just have to play with numbers. So,
I, like I said, they could accept one of these, and I could say, "I'm out." that doesn't work after I find out, you know, all the different things that I didn't have to begin with. So what I wanted to do is see if we're in the game.
Yep. And the only way you know that is by making offers, right? Taking that action, because you don't get in the game otherwise.
Yep. So
hopefully you've gained value from this, guys. And if you have, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know if we're going in too deep here, or if this is really good content and valuable to you guys. We'd love to hear your feedback. If you have any questions, comments, you can call our hotline. Also, if you have a deal that you're looking at and you don't know how to structure terms on, we'd love to either get you on the show or at least go over the deal on the show and make an episode out of it, and actually come up with an offer or multiple offers that you can hand to your potential seller. So that hotline number is 877-409-8090. Again, 877-409-8090. You can also text that, text CFP or Creative Financing to that number to get special access to our step-by-step video on how to structure offers from start to finish. Jeff starts, you know, pulls the lead right out of his CRM on a single family home and takes you right through to the end with his exit strategy and the offers he created, the offer that the seller accepted, and what he did. So you'll see his letter of intent there. Really good video to go watch. And so, yeah, just text our hotline number. Also, if you're interested in Jeff's apprenticeship programs, reach out to us on that number and just mention that specifically you're interested in his apprenticeship programs. You want to add anything to that, Jeff?
I'm looking to work with people. I'm looking to train people. I tell you, one of my goals for 2025 is to help 25 investors get to where they want to be in terms of real estate investing. That's awesome. My education give back.
Good. That's a great goal. You can reach us directly if you want to DM us on Facebook at the Creative Financing Podcast. Then we also have a YouTube show that we will continue to build over time, but that's the Creative Financing Show. So you can find us in all of those places. Hit us up, guys. Let us know what you like, what you don't. We'd love to get your feedback, and we do greatly appreciate your ear and your attention. Any last words, Jeff?
I hope people like this. It might not fit for everyone, but again, it's all about how you're starting to think about things. And that part, I think, is still solid. So you might not be thrilled about commercial, you might not know it, but the whole goal of this podcast is to open your mind.
Right. Yep. Okay, guys, until next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.